Eric Rauchway is director of the Center for History, Society, and Culture at the University of California at Davis. He's also the author of The Great Depression and the New Deal, A Very Short Introduction. Eric, welcome to Day to Day.
Thanks very much.
A friend offered this thesis, and I wanted to test it on you. One never-before factor in the financial meltdown is the information revolution. We all know so much so quickly online that the surge of bad news begets more bad news because we don't ever have time to digest it. What do you think of that?
I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that a lot of people who spend a lot of time online, as I sometimes do, feel sort of inundated with bad news and often feel that they just want to step away from the computer monitor lest it sort of reach out and bite them. I think it's probably also, though, possible to overstate the difference between this and earlier times.
Well, how is that?
If you think about the Great Depression, let's say, for example, as everyone is nowadays, during the Great Depression, you also had instantaneous forms of communication. You had the telephone, and most notably, you had the telegraph. And I think most people have probably seen pictures or motion pictures with ticker tapes in them giving sort of instantaneous stock reports. So if you wanted that kind of information, you certainly could have got it. And we know also that news delivery by old media in those days was much better than it is now. I mean, we're used to thinking of newspapers as, I think, relatively pokey. In those days, newspapers being sort of high-tech, there were lots more of them. They came more often during the day. They're quite cheap. And there's some relatively reliable studies that show that, you know, the average urban dwelling American would probably have read about two papers a day.
You know, I wonder about this. How did people in the Great Depression think about the Great Depression, especially in the early days, because they didn't have the Great Depression to hearken back to that their parents or grandparents had told them about?
Yeah, well, this is an excellent question. First of all, the thing that they looked back to, if they wanted to think back to a time of real hardship, would have been the Depression of the early 1890s, which was, you know, about as close to them as the Depression is to us, but closer, actually. So in the 1890s, you had upwards of 20% unemployment. This was caused by some crises to do with, a run on the U.S. dollar and gold flowing out of the United States Treasury and so forth and so on. And you had really large numbers of the unemployed straggling along American roads looking for work. This was an age of a lot of anxiety about hobos and tramps and the threat to public order that they might have represented. And I think if we had had motion pictures from the 1890s, we would probably regard that as the Great Depression. But the key thing maybe to think about there is, you know, it wasn't obviously going to be the Great Depression by Christmas 1929. And maybe even it wasn't obviously going to be the Great Depression by Christmas 1930. It was something that kind of crept slowly and sickeningly upon people.
And this thesis that really it's the information revolution, it's the online world and exchange of all that we know, this thesis probably is not such a big factor, you think, in what's going on.
I think, if anything, it might help. I think that we have a tremendous amount of visibility of folks like Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson, and we see what they're doing, and we read what they're doing, and we see the detailed plans for what they'd like to do to rescue the bank. Moreover, we're seeing very visibly a rather well-informed debate by economists on this subject with all kinds of options being floated. We're seeing almost instantaneously the actions that foreign governments are taking in relative detail. I mean, if anything, it may help coordinate an international effort to stanch the bleeding, which was signally absent back in the 20s and 30s.
But don't you see people, don't you run into people who are saying, I'm not even going to look at my portfolio. I don't want the information because it's such bad information. And for every voice of reason out there, there's someone like Jim Cramer on, I think it's CNBC, and a lot of people think he's crazy.
I don't want to venture a psychoanalysis of Jim Cramer, but the phenomenon you're describing, I think, definitely exists. One of my colleagues just yesterday said, oh, I used to look at the little stock market application on my iPhone all the time, and now I've stopped because apparently it's no more fun anymore. Look, if you're going to sort of examine your portfolio and it's giving you, you know, bad feelings, you should probably stop. It certainly got to be true that it could lead to greater anxiety to spend too much time looking over these things in a time like this.
Eric Rauchway, he's a professor of history at the University of California at Davis. Eric, thank you.
Thank you.